Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network presents the Roundtable Report, a discussion of today's issues. So the kid gloves are off as we listen to real answers from real people. Come and join us on the Roundtable Report.
And good evening. I'm John Jeffers, your host, founder, executive producer here at the Contra Radio Network. And yes, we're going to be talking at the Roundtable Report. If you want to join us on the Roundtable, our phone number is 516-453-9389. Get your pencils and papers out. I'll say it again. Number is 516-453-9389. All right. Well, I'm waiting for Terry to check in, my co-host, checking in from Missouri, or for the people that live there, call it the state of misery. Don't take it personally. All right. Hey, we're going to talk about some issues tonight. The big one, of course, I told Terry I'd wait for him to check in before we hit it. One of the things I want to cover, though, is there's been a measles outbreak. Measles outbreak is traced, and we got this from the Conservative Tribune, who got it from the Casa Grande Dispatch. It says, for many months, conservatives and Republicans have been trying to warn the public that the incoming flood of immigrants, coupled with our existing illegal immigration problem, pose a serious health risk to America. Now it looks like these warnings were correct, as the Casa Grande Dispatch has reported that an outbreak of measles in Arizona has been traced to the local detention facility for illegal immigrants. There are now 11 confirmed cases of measles, and it is likely that more cases will continue to be reported. Now, President Obama's federal government has just followed the rules and deported the illegals instead of keeping them locked up. Much of this could have probably been prevented. Now, it's extremely important that people who have a rash and fever call their health care provider or emergency department ahead of time to let them know they may have measles, explained the director of the Arizona Department of Health Services, Dr. Kara Crist. Many illegal immigrants and refugees from the Middle East lack basic health services in their native countries, and as a result, tend to carry diseases that we don't often see in America anymore. So measles is one of the most communicable diseases there is. 90% of non-immune people exposed to measles will get the disease, Chris stated. Now, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, measles has been eliminated from the U.S. in 2000. Now, illegal immigrants have brought the sometimes fatal disease back to our doorsteps. So who says illegal immigrants don't contribute anything to our society? Thanks, Obama. Now, we can't afford to have a massive outbreak of diseases in America, and millions of Americans don't deserve to be sick because of actions our government is taking. Keep letting illegal immigrants stay here. Time to deport them, protect our own citizens for a change. And they got that from the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit, they put it out there. Oh, by the way, I wanted to let you know something. There's a store I found. It's online. It's called the Brooklyn Battery Works. Now, Brooklyn Battery Works has a very large inventory and selection of batteries, all kinds, well below retail price. Now, that's where I get all my batteries. That's where I order them from. Check them out. It's brooklynbatteries.com. I think I put a link to their store on the CRN Facebook page, so feel free to check it out. Every battery I've gotten from them has been fantastic. Haven't had a dead one yet. They store readily. They're coming they come in very containers, small containers broken down, so if you order different types or whatnot, They have their own containers, so they're easy to store for your supply catch, which is something you're going to need. Something else I wanted to tell you. We're trying to arrange an interview time with author Ron Foster. I think we might have got it narrowed down probably till a week from today, I think. We're going to try for it. But he's an author. He's written a few books on dystopian storyline around that area, around that kind of thing. But I wanted to let you know what's going on. Second of all, excuse me, for you people, my listeners, the supporters especially for Contra Radio Network, if you go to patreon.com, that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, look for Contra Radio Network, and you become a monthly subscriber, whether it's $2, $4, or whatever amount, every month, I'm going to send you, a pocket Declaration of Independence and United States Constitution. Carry it around in your pocket, whatever you need to do. I will send that to you for being a contributor and a donor to the CRN, Contra Radio Network. This goes out to Green Sales in Mississippi. If do me a favor, send me an email, ContraRadio@live.com, ContraRadio@live.com. Green Sales, send me that email. What I need to know from you is, did you get your premium gift for your donation? If you have not, send me your mailing address. I will get in the mail to you right away. Average Joe, message to you, my friend. It's on the way to you. I apologize for the lateness of getting it to you, but it's on the way to you right now. And for Terry in Missouri, my co-host, I have sent you a package. It should be arriving in a few days. Okay. See, it pays to be a member. It's a supporter for Contra Radio Network. You get all these great things. All these great things. All right. Now I know. I got to put it out there. All right. Now, yeah, we're still hovering around that 5,000 listener mark every month. If we get the word out there, it'd be a lot better. More people, the better it is. All right. Now, what else are we going to talk about? What do we should we talk about this? Yes, we need to talk about this because this is going, though this is important, and preppers don't like to talk about it. We don't like to talk about it for whatever reason. My guess is, well, it's not a pretty subject. It's not exciting. But just the same, we need to talk about it. Now, I'm going to remind the listeners here, I'm not a prepping expert, and I don't claim to be one. I'm not. What I do is I find information that I think is worthy for your consideration, and I put it out there for you to consume, whether you're a member of a prepper group, or you're a prepper group leader, patriot, or whether you are a patriot group leader. I put the information out there. Whether you use it or not, that is definitely up to you. Okay? So, look, have I been wrong? Oh, yeah. I've been wrong a few times. I know it's hard for some of you to believe, but hey, if I screw up, I'm not afraid to say I screwed up. What's important is that you say, you know, I screwed up. This is the right information. I see guest 2822 is logged in. Welcome to the Contra Radio Network. So, with that said, we have to talk about this non-glorious subject, and that is emergency hygiene problems. It's by Jacob Hunter. I saw it and I thought, you know what? He's right. Because emergency hygiene problems are not things that preppers want to talk about. But we're going to talk about it anyways because it's important. So in every single disaster situation, well, from hurricanes to grid outages to warfare, one thing is almost certain. Hygiene disasters. You want examples? I'll give them to you. After the 2010 hurricane in Haiti, there was a massive outbreak of cholera, which killed more than 7,000 people and affected more than 700,000. After the 2009 typhoons in Taiwan, outbreaks of infectious leptospirosis occurred, which can cause symptoms from headaches to the bleeding of lungs. Yeah, I know. After the 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan, there were risk of radioactive poisoning from material which leaked out from the damaged nuclear power plant, which, by the way, is still spewing its crap. In refugee camps, outbreaks of infectious diseases like tuberculosis and diphtheria are common due to the crowded situations. During wars, small injuries go untreated because of overcrowded hospitals, and those minor injuries become infected and deadly. So don't think that these hygiene disasters are limited to third world countries. They're not. It can happen in the United States and Western countries too. Remember Hurricanes Katrina and Sandy? Hundreds were affected by diseases like typhoid and cholera. There were also rashes, respiratory infections, diarrhea, and more health effects. So why aren't people preparing for hygiene risks? These risks are almost inevitable after disasters. Even Japan experienced them after their major earthquake, and Japan was an almost unbelievable example of calmness and organization following a disaster. We say goodbye to guest 2822. Thanks for listening in. Yet no one is talking about the risk. Now, even fewer people are preparing for the risk. Sure, many preppers are stockpiling hygiene supplies like soap, antibacterial hand sanitizers, and cleaning supplies. But these personal preparedness steps overlook the larger issue. No amount of hand sanitizer is going to help when you've got a river of sewage going through your front yard. Now, we're going to discuss the five main emergency hygiene issues which will likely arise after a disaster and how to prepare for them. Number one is personal waste. When natural disasters occur, the plumbing system may go down, which means your toilet will be unusable. You better have an emergency toilet as a backup. How to prepare? Okay, simple. Get an emergency toilet. Stockpile lots of sturdy plastic bags for storing the waste. Stockpile disposable plastic gloves, and stockpile bleach. Problem number two, sewage flooding. Anytime that serious flooding occurs, you can count on sewage to backflow into your home or the streets. You can use bleach or boiled water to make water safe to drink, but that only solves part of the problem. I see guest 22 has logged back in. Welcome back. Appreciate it. Now, all that in sewage will bring infectious diseases, including airborne diseases. If you want to walk through the sewage water, you risk getting infected from sewage, which touches cuts and wounds on your body, which you will surely have after a disaster. So how do you prepare? Well, pack rubber boots. Have knee or thigh-high waterproof boots like Wellington so you can walk through sewage water. Or install a sump pump. If you have a basement, you probably already have a sump pump. I don't need to tell you that. Number three, problem three is trash. Now, when disaster strikes, the trash trucks stop coming around. I mean, that's common sense, right? Aside from all the bad smells coming from the trash can bring infestations of rats, which can in turn bring what? Disease. So how do we prepare? Have sturdy boots, gloves, and rip-proof clothing. There is nothing you can do to prevent the trash from piling up in the streets, but you can reduce your risk of getting infected from the trash by minimizing contact with it. Wear sturdy boots, work gloves, and rip-proof clothing so you don't get cut by something like a dirty old garbage can. Stockpile lots of trash bags. You can never have too many trash bags for disaster preparedness. You'll need these for keeping your trash sealed until you can safely get rid of it. Or burn or bury your trash. An even better solution would be to organize a trash site for your neighborhood. Start by digging a very deep pit and having everyone put their trash there for burying or daily burning. Wear a mask so you don't breathe in the plastic fumes, amongst everything else. Problem number four, infectious disease and pollutants. No matter how many precautions you take to contain your waste and trash, you can't count on others to do the same. That's going to be true. How many times have we told you on this very radio show, on the Contra Radio Network, we have said many times, just because you're doing it doesn't mean your neighbors will do it. Your neighbors that don't do it will not take responsibility for themselves or their family until it's too late. And then when it does happen, they'll probably just want you to, you know, they'll have the government come in and they want to take care of them. So anyways, that's what we're talking about. So in post-disaster situations with lots of crowding, you can expect there to be outbreaks of infectious disease. You need to factor this into your disaster prepping. In addition to the infections, Don't forget that many harmful particulates may get into the air after disasters, such as asbestos and lead from destroyed buildings. This was a major issue after the terrorist attacks of 9/11, also after Hurricane Sandy. So how do we prepare? All right, here you go. Stay away from humans. Plan a secure remote bug out location so you can minimize contact with infected people. Stockpile cleaning agents. You'll need isopropyl alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, bleach, and germicides to clean surfaces. Wear a respirator mask. Don't leave home without a respirator mask to prevent infection from airborne contagions and ingestion of particulates like asbestos. Stockpile your first aid kit for infections. All right. Oh, man. All right. Look. Okay. Oh, all right. Your first aid kit needs antibiotics and antibiotic ointments. First thing I have with this, first issue is, first of all, you just can't get antibiotics. The only way you're going to get them is if you order the fish antibiotics. That's the only way you're going to get those antibiotics. Antibiotic ointments, that'd be like Neosporin or whatnot. Pack extra antidiarrheal medicines in case a member of your family gets diarrhea so you can minimize the risk of it spreading. Not just the diarrhea, but if you have diarrhea, you're going to be dehydrated. So you need to get the antidiarrheal in them to try to help keep them hydrated. Okay. No, man. All right, stockpile disposable gloves. This is another prepping item that you can't have too much of. You'll want to wear them when you're outside. It'll probably be easier to just wear gloves and to constantly wash your hands when clean water is limited, and it will be limited. Stockpile extra water for washing. You need at least 2 gallons of water per day, half gallon for drinking, half gallon for cooking, and 1 gallon for cleaning. Normally, now, what he's done is he's just expanded upon the, if you're an older prepper, you know about this. I see Jim W. is logged in. Welcome, sir. One of the things we want to talk about is he took the old thing that you need to stockpile 1 gallon of water per person per day. What he did is he just added an extra gallon for cleaning. So aim for even more water so you can properly wash your hands and shower, if it's even going to be possible. And, of course, wash your hands. Antibacterial hand sanitizers can help, but many diseases are spread by viruses, not bacteria. So those antibacterial solutions won't help. You must have water and soap ready to wash your hands. By the way, I went to armysoap.com, and I did order up 6 to 8 bars of armysoap.com. That has 10% sulfur in there. Use it for washing your clothes. Use it as shampoo, washing your body. Plus, because it has sulfur, it helps fight off bugs, insects, that kind of thing. I thought it was pretty reasonable. But if you want to check it out, it's armysoap.com, armysoap.com. Problem number 5, feminine hygiene. Now, this is where, we just talked about this last week. I hate talking about things I don't know a lot about. And that's why I pled over and over. We need a female prepper who wants to do her own radio show. So that way we can talk about these things, because let's face it, I don't know anything about these things. I really don't. So what we'll do is this. We will, All right, here's a disaster prepping problem that no one likes to talk about. However, it is actually pretty easy to prepare for this one. How to prepare? Stockpile tampons and pads. Or start using a menstrual cup. Don't ask me how it works. I don't know. This is preferred over tampons and pads because a menstrual cup is reusable. You just wash it out and reinsert it. In case you need to evacuate, you won't need to worry about carrying lots of huge boxes of feminine products. All right. I'm glad I'm past that one. I know we're all going, huh? So let me see. I see Terry's calling in. Let's get him on the show here. Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Howdy, my American patriot brother.
Welcome to the roundtable.
I was not going to call in until you finished that because I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, thanks for your help.
Yeah, you're on your own there.
I often have been.
No.
I often have been.
Yeah, it's a lonely road we all must do.
But, fight the fame. Like it's like I said, this is, it's not fun, it's not glorious, but this is stuff that we need to talk about and discuss and put it out there, because let's face it, it's going to be there. Garbage, trash, all the crap you can think of is going to there. It's going to be there, and then some. You know.
Yep. People will start to learning how to compost what they, you know, separate. Actually, a whole new way of separating trash. There's some things you can throw in compost. There's something you can feed to animals, like a hog or chickens. There's some things that you can should burn, and there's some things you just can't burn, like a tin can. But you can use tin can for other things.
Or anything that has asbestos in it, don't burn that. It goes into the air.
And I've seen in other countries where they use just about anything. I mean, like Thailand.
Yeah.
You can't throw anything away. It's all usable to somebody.
Okay.
I don't care what you're talking about. You know.
All right.
So when you're poor, you make whatever you got. Or whatever you can get with your hands.
No, that's
true. To make a chicken house. I mean, you patch things together. Just saying. You know, there's when the shit hits a fan and things start getting rough, like really rough, and then people start looking at trash in a different light. They're gonna look at resources in a whole different way. If they're smart, they will.
Oh, they will. I think so. Now, if you want to join us on the roundtable, go ahead. What?
Well, I'm just saying, because I see a lot of people today throw away good things.
Well, they do. Like you said, when things are no longer or can no longer be manufactured right away, people will start going to the landfills and whatnot and start digging stuff up. Everything can be reused. How about this? Instead of reused, how about repurposed? You can always use something that it wasn't designed to do or built to do. Now, if you want to join us on the roundtable report, give us a call. We're at 516-453-9389. That's 516-453-9389. I got guest 2822 has logged out, and Jim W. has logged in. All right, great. Jim, welcome. He's in the chat room. You want to join Jim in the chat room? You can. Yeah, I think he's probably lonely in there. Would like somebody to chat with. We don't want to leave him hanging too long. Here's something for you. How about the myth of the tactical reload? And I've talked about this before, and this is kind of exciting for some of you. And the myth of the tactical reload and why it could get you killed in a real gunfight. All right, and we've talked about this, but I want to talk about it again. And then we'll get to the gorilla in the room, because I know Terry's been waiting for me to hear my analysis on this. So, where did you get this from? We got this from Jeff Anderson over at Modern Combat and Survival. He says, "Look, I'm a firm believer that when it comes to training with your firearms, the more training and more types of training you get, the better prepared you'll be in the dynamics of a real battle when your life is on the line. But let's face it. There's a lot of stuff being taught by gun, quote-unquote, experts out there that could get you killed if you ever had to use it when the bullets are flying. And I've been to some of these courses. Now, this is the whole purpose of Jeff Anderson's 7-factor close combat shooting system. But what he really wants to know is, let's take an example. Chances are you've been taught this reloading tactic. All right, there you are, hunkered down behind a car's engine block, exchanging bullets with some thug who decided you looked like a good target for a parking lot holdup. You know you're running low on ammo, so instead of waiting until your gun goes dry, you take advantage of a break in the action to, one, slip your spare magazine between a couple of fingers on your non-firing hand, eject your partially spent mag into the same hand, and quickly switch out mags, placing your partial mag in the pocket for possible later use. The truth? Works great at the range. It's going to fail miserably at the gunfight. Because under stress of a real attack, your adrenaline is going to be surging through your veins like a runaway locomotive, and your fine motor skills, that's the dexterity needed to juggle two magazines at once, is going to go right out the window, and likely reduce you to a clumsy clown. Besides, when all you can think about is how to get a bullet into the guy shooting at you and avoid sinking one in your cranium. Now, do you really think you're going to be counting how many rounds you may have left and wondering if it's time to reload? Not likely, right? So look, don't buy into the usual tactical nonsense you see out there. So what we're going to also want to talk about is, they say, you know, the time you do your tactical reload is the time that there's a quote-unquote lull in the gunfight. You're thinking, okay, what's the lull in the gunfight? There will come a time in the gunfight that you'll be maneuvering, your adversary will be maneuvering to get a better shot or a better angle or a better tactical situation. By the time you realize that that's the lull, it's over. And there goes your tactical reload situation. It sounds cool. Hey, I'm going to do a tactical reload. Well, sure, at the range you can, because nobody's shooting back at you. But when you're sitting there trying to get trying to outflank your adversary, trying to get a better angle on for the attack, he's doing the same for you. Do you really want to be trying to walk, run, look at him, see where you're going, trying to juggle two magazines in your hand? Really? No. That's why they're saying it will get you killed. And it's just that a myth. It would get you killed. Now, if there's anybody out there that disagrees with me, please let me know. Terry, have you heard of this tactical reload?
Oh, there's all kinds of tricks that people want to make up. You know, I say like this, practice, practice, practice. Because just like, I mean, we train this in the military. We talk this through during training.
Yep.
That when it hits the fan and you're in an actual firefight, the adrenaline, like you said, is going to be racing through your body like a locomotive. And if it doesn't hit you, it will hit you sooner or later, either during the action or after the action. And you'll feel a rush, and you'll feel shaky. And some people even cry because it gets emotional. It's a it throws a chemical imbalance in your body. And your body's trying to balance itself out. It's trying to deal with everything that's been going on, right? So that's what this big rush is. With all that adrenaline, the way that you can help prevent things like this is practice and train and practice and train. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to do these things. Some guys might have a neat trick. Just because they talk a good game doesn't mean it's a good game.
Right.
You know, you need to find things that work for you, because some women do things differently than men. Some men do things differently than some men. And it depends on your level of training and your level of experience and all that. Because if you train in a certain way, whether if it's shooting an M60 machine gun or if it's shooting a regular M16 rifle or a pistol or a shotgun at home, muscle memory sooner or later starts taking control, and that's what helps you do things without looking. That's what helps you do things faster, and all that takes repetition. Repetition. That's the only way that you're going to be able to overcome these kind of things, you know. And it's kind of like public speaking. If you have a fear of public speaking and you get the butterflies and all that, well, practice more public speaking. Sooner or later, you figure out that you can handle it. And your body gets used to handling it.
That's true. You are right. Look, you'll never be able to get rid of the adrenaline rush. That comes back to the days when we're running around with spears and whatnot. Look, that adrenaline rush is going to happen. You can't stop it. What you can do is learn to deal with it. We're talking about the flight or fight response. But when you're sitting there running around, like I said, you're in a gunfight, you can only do so many things at once. And when I talked about fine motor skills is moving your fingers. For example, moving your fingers in a particular order or trying to grab something with your fingers. If you're under stress and it's enough of it, whatever you're trying to grab with your fingers, you're going to miss, you're going to grab it, you're going to drop it. What you have to retrain with is what they call gross motor skills. Gross motor skills is, if I'm going to grab something, I'm not going to grab it with one finger or two. I'm going to grab my whole hand. Reach out, grab it, whole hand, grab it in. Same thing with your when you're doing a reload. You have to empty out your magazine. You got to hit the button, grab that magazine, or drop it, depending on your situation. You have to be able to have another magazine. You don't use your fingers. Grab it by your whole hand and jam it into the well with your whole hand. Don't sit there and try to fuss with it, trying to get finesse with it. You can't do it. Cannot be done. You don't believe me? Go to YouTube, and you watch these guys that do the competition drills. These guys, all they do all day long, all night, all day, is practice, 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 practice. That's all they do. When it comes down to the competitions, you watch what happens because they're under such tight time constraints that they will screw it up. It's not that they'll miss the target, but they'll do something along the lines of the technique, of their technique. That's why they practice with it over and over and over again. For example, practice doing malfunction clearing drills for a phase one and a phase two malfunction. That's all they practice with because time is of the essence, and that's what they do. Practice, 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 practice. The faster you can do a phase one, phase two malfunction drill, the quicker you can get back one into the competition or two back into the fight. That's what you do. Practice, practice over and over again. Because if you practice, however you train, that is how you're going to react. And there is nothing of this, well, I will rise to the occasion. No, you won't. You will not rise anywhere unless you train, you've been trained, and you practice it over and over and over again. So that's why, you know, training is important. Well, it is.
Yeah, even these guys that do professional shooting, you know, like the professional pistol shootings and stuff, they go through every single movement of every single stage through those ranges on how they're right. going to do it, every single step, and including which foot is in front of the other. I mean, it really gets down to every single part of their body. But you know what? Even then, that kind of training would be really advantageous for something in a true firefight with another person.
Right.
But they're not shooting at targets anymore. And they're going to be in a situation where they're not going to be able to rehearse every single movement. So whatever they do, they had to go down to they still had to go back to their basic elements of how to handle themselves and how to handle a gun. But that adrenaline's going to hit them the same thing because it's not
right.
the same. It's not the same as a target. I know guys that. Yeah, I mean, I know guys that have been through combat and they still get that rush when they're deer hunting. They get nervous. And they're, you know, like nervous as in physically shaking a little bit. Deer
got
hunting.
The wobble.
You know, deer hunting because it's exciting. But you don't want to mess up, and you know you don't want to mess up, so you got to really get it right. And there's that rush.
Guest 3173 has joined us in the chat room. Welcome. Jim W. is no longer lonely in the chat room. He's got somebody to chat with. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. No, Terry, you're right. It doesn't matter how good you are, how often you've been through it, you're still going to deal with the adrenaline dump. And the adrenaline dump is what makes you supposed to make you faster, sharper. That's why a lot of times when you talk to people who've been in gunfights, they will tell you, I saw my bullet leave my weapon, and they're not lying. They're telling you the truth. They saw their bullet leave the weapon. And if it's a close call, they will tell you, I saw his bullet. It was coming right from my head. They will tell you that. And then you got the auditory exclusion. They won't hear anything. You know, that's why, I don't know if you used it, Terry, with your squad, but we had to get done in a critical incident. Guys are still firing and shooting, even after you told them, you know, cease fire. Because they got the auditory exclusion going. Oh, Foil Hat Soldier has logged in. Welcome. He gets a gold star for joining me last Saturday. Appreciate it. But so the point is this. Don't buy into this goofy myth of the tactical reload. All it's going to do is, one, probably get you killed. Because I guess you can only do a few things really good at a time. And what they're asking you to do, you can't do during a high-pressure situation. Mainly, you will not be able to use the fingers on one hand to do a magazine exchange. It will not work out. All right. Okay.
Yeah, don't be fancy with it.
No, don't be fancy with it. Guess 3173 has left us, but that's okay. Jim has Foil Hat Soldier to talk to. And he's a good guest, by the way. We should get him in to call in more often.
So, have you seen the Venezuelan deal? I mean,
what happened? What's happened now?
Well, people are like starting to resort back to farming. They have to start making their own food. People are starting to have to rely on themselves. They're even leaving the cities.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised they didn't leave sooner, to tell the truth. Or maybe they just couldn't get the hell out of the cities. You know,
the government is trying to promote them to do their own personal victory gardens.
Yeah, because then they get out of the cities and don't have to deal with them.
Well, it's just because they have a failed state and they know it. And if they don't have people start, you know, promoting people to start making food, then they know that they're going to riot even harder.
Foil Hat Soldier, welcome.
Word up, G. Chisel my middle. Word to all my prepper homies, yo. I have no idea what any of that means.
I don't know. Hey, Scooter 13 just logged in. We haven't heard from him in a while. Welcome. Well, my friend, I was just telling Terry that you're riding shotgun with me Saturday night. I appreciate it.
Oh, happy to do it. Only too happy.
Yeah, if you want to see what the class of a society looks like, look no farther than Venezuela. Plenty of video out there to see how people are going to react. And the people reacting down there are not reacting any different than the people here in the United States would.
Can you imagine the crime rate that's going on right now?
Oh.
The corruption in the police. And even in a police department, how much corruption's going on?
If you want to get rid of your archenemy, now's the time to do it. I'm always looking for opportunity.
Give him a ticket to Morocco.
Scooter 13 says he's been busy folding laundry. He might have been talking with Charles from Nebraska.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if it was me... I would be, like I've always said, a long time ago, we used to always talk about how bad Harlem was, or Queens, how bad L.A. was. Remember, in the late 70s and early 80s? I mean, that's all the big rage of how dangerous it was to be in that place. Well, I always thought, why don't you just get the hell out of there? And go live in a place where there's not so many problems. At least they got more opportunity. It would be the same thing if the shit hit the fan. People are going to be wanting to leave the cities because they know that sooner or later they'll figure it out that they can't survive. They need to leave. They need to go find a piece of ground that they can do something else with. But
if I
was in Venezuela, I'd be wanting to get the hell out of there.
Well, don't forget, Venezuela is a third world country. Not everybody has easy transportation in and out. But God knows, you've got 2 feet, shoe leather express, put it in gear.
There's always a way.
Yeah,
I don't care
is.
If I'm on the other side of the world. My wife, if we had a big worldwide EMP attack and my wife was in Thailand and I'm here, I'll make my ass to Thailand somehow. There's always a way.
There is
it
a way.
It depends on how determined are you, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that might be true.
If I had to walk across this country to go meet up with my family because we were separated, I would walk across this country.
It's been done before.
Right. Might
not
take
impossible.
Me a couple months. Might take me a
we
couple
used to call
months.
That pioneering.
Yeah,
a month or a year. Yeah, right. Go get you a mule.
That's not a bad idea.
Get
just
you a little
same.
Two-wheel cart and tow it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's what you got to do.
If that's what it takes. If that's what it takes. Hey, for all you listeners out there, California legislature has decided, one, they want all your high-capacity magazines, and two, they've exempted themselves from the same law. What
but
the
they
hell
did
is that
back
about?
In 2011, right?
They just did it again. They want their everybody's high capacity magazines. Jerry Brown, the governor, came out and said, "We're coming for your high capacity magazines." My response: good luck. Let me know how that turns out for you.
Yeah,
you know, it's a shame. It seemed like California used to be such a nice place to live.
True,
I know. Everybody true. Wanted to live there.
Right, absolutely right. That was the place to go. Head west. Now they can't get out of there fast. Hey, I'll tell you right now, if you're a prepper or a conservative, get the hell out of the state. Let them wallow in their despair. Let them do it on their own. They create it. Let them wallow in it. They ain't dragging me or my friends in there. I have so many things. I don't know if you heard about it there, Foil Hat Soldier, but we... I've got some premium gifts for those that want to support the Contra Radio Network. It'll be pocket-sized declarations of independence and the U.S. Constitution. So,
sweet.
I've got that. Yeah, I think it's good. Scooter 13 says, July 1, Idaho allows permitless. I'm sure it's concealed carry. While in California, they got the Second Amendment. No, that is true, sir. Idaho has common sense, whereas California left theirs decades ago.
They've abandoned all hope.
Kind of like our
FBI right now.
Oh, man. You know something? Okay. As long as you brought it up, let's talk about the gorilla in the room. Get it over with.
I knew I was going to bring
it
up.
As long as we're doing it, let's just do it and be done with it. Okay, everybody's jumping on Comey and this whole thing about Hillary. Killery, shillery, useless, congenital liar, whatever you want to call her, I don't care. Listen up. Comey made what I would consider a strategic move. And once you get past the emotion of it, of what's happened, you start to realize what it is he's actually done. And this is this. One, by not indicting her or recommending charges, he has forced the Democrats to play the Hillary card all the way through. Because if he did indict her, then you could see the Democrats drafting Joe Biden to make the run as president. And he has higher favorables than Trump. But by denying the indictment or any charges, it forces the Democrats to either one, they have to dump Hillary at the convention and find somebody else, or two, they got to run with Hillary knowing full well that she's lied to everyone, them, the public, the elites. She has lied to everyone and it's been proven. So if you think, once you get past the emotional response, and don't get me wrong, I was kind of emotional about it too. I was pissy about it. But then I started thinking about it. I said, you know what? He's actually made us masterful strategic move by forcing the Democrats to keep Hillary. Now they said, now they can, and it means now that if they want to dump Hillary, the Democrats got to do it themselves. They can't rely on the Republicans or the judiciary or anybody else to do it. They're going to have to do it themselves if they want to do it. And if they don't want to do it, then they're stuck running with her no matter what, which means, So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Another thing I heard in that regard today was the statute of limitations extends far enough out on any of these issues at hand that should another, if she doesn't win the election and another administration decided they wanted to pursue it, because she was not indicted or arrested, there's no double jeopardy. Somebody else could pursue this investigation again, and she could just wind up indicted at a later time under another administration, another justice system.
That is true. Now, Lynch did close the case. Big surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. And one thing we have to remember, too, is this. Comey was the Senate Special Assistant Deputy Prosecutor during the Whitewater investigation and the Richard Mark pardon investigation. So now, if you want to, here's an interesting take too. Check out the Wall Street Journal editorial today. They've got some very they have a different take on Comey, saying Comey will go after people who are unpopular or viewed as bad people. When it comes to somebody that's powerful, he has a tendency to back off. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, I heard another. Yeah, I heard it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I already had my say.
Oh, I heard another theory was that, which I really don't know. I'm sure it's within the realm of possibilities, but Hillary was saved as a move. It, you know, when you read the Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radicals, where you make all this controversy and strife and division within whatever group you want to help take over. It's a really huge, long played out conspiracy game that they play. And so they save Hillary. They're destroying the cohesion within all the political parties, really, and the nation. And then maybe some martial law breaks out.
It could.
And then Obama gets to stay in.
No. I've read that too. I'm not. For them to,
I'm just saying that was out there, and I said, well, it's not without the realm of possibilities. But I personally don't believe that's true. I think they're all scratching each other's backs.
No, say it ain't so. No, that can't be. No, you want to install martial law? They ought to be implementing martial law on the south side of Chicago. It's bad there. And places that were traditionally pretty much crime safe aren't that way anymore. More and more of the violent crime starting to get to the well-to-do neighborhoods, and yet they still haven't even done that. So it's gonna. You know, what does it take to implement martial law? A lot more than that. You know, what's going on in Chicago? If they were going to do it, they should have done it then. Go ahead.
According to the deals that Obama's been signing, he could do it during peacetime. So
but then you have a real problem by doing it that way.
Well, the whole thing's a real problem.
Well, it is, but he'd have a real no. I mean, okay, look. One of our former House of Representatives, Joe Walsh, he's got a show on WIND, 560 AM, and he just said, you know, it's these kind of silly decisions where. And this is probably the crux of it. Is this the law is going to be is not going to be applied evenly to everyone? That's the stuff that revolutions and rebellions are made of. You can't sit there and come out and say, If somebody else did it, well, they wouldn't be getting, you know, we'd be prosecuting them. And then say, well, because, you know, it's who she is, well, maybe we shouldn't. Yeah, you got to have the guts to go after
her. Basically, that's what Comey said.
Right. That is what he said. You're right. No, he did say that. But that's the part that, you know, people don't understand. The rebellion and revolution, that's the stuff that, you know, it's made of. You can either the law applies evenly to everybody or it applies to nobody. Not because of who you are. That's why they keep saying the rule of law is dead.
What's all that clacking noise?
It's for a hat soldier.
Am I doing something?
I don't know. Are you?
What are you typing on a computer or something?
I just shifted in my chair a little bit, but that's about all. I'm talking on a Bluetooth in my ear. I didn't think it picked up too much extraneous noise, but if it does, I apologize.
Don't worry about it.
Sounds like somebody hit, you know, clacking like a wooden cooking spoon on a keyboard.
I'm typing with my mittens on. That explains my typing skills when you see me on the chat room.
But yeah, I think the whole thing's a huge mess, and if something doesn't start happening, we're gonna start seeing some serious problems.
Well,
serious
I
want to
see what's going to happen in Louisiana.
Going to start.
I'm kind of waiting to see what's going to happen in Baton Rouge. I want to see if those clowns from Black Lives Matter tried pulling their crap down in Baton Rouge. Because if they do, they're going to have a very unpleasant welcoming committee down there. They're not going to play around with them like they did in New York City and in Baltimore and all the other crap. So I'm waiting to see what's going to happen there.
Do it. I want to see it.
Ferguson is in your state. Have you got enough of that yet?
Man, it's like an embarrassment. Between Ferguson, my governor, the city of St. Louis, which is a sanctuary city. Do you believe that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's one of those, I mean, we got sanctuary cities everywhere. Just about every metropolitan area, Miami, Chicago, Kansas City, Baltimore, they're all sanctuary cities. We got more sanctuary cities than there are major cities.
I believe you. And you know what? I'd like to know how many of those cities are run by Democrats and how many are run by Republicans.
Well, yeah. And then here's my governor. He is such a...
Nixon's a bonehead. He needs to be wearing an orange jumpsuit on Al Jazeera.
I mean, he tries so hard to stick his ass right up Obama. his head. I mean, seriously, I don't know how he's going gray. It should be pure brown head hair. But it's like he's such a douche. I don't know. We just passed a deal where he's supposed to sign because it's veto proof. Where now you don't have to have a license for conceal and carry. It's
right.
Open game now. We can carry a gun anytime we want. There's no conceal and carry laws no more.
What about
refuses to sign it. He refuses to sign it. Bastard.
Now he's doing a pocket veto on it.
Sort of, yeah.
Is there a 60-day limit? Will they revisit the issue in like 60 days and then override him?
I really don't know. I mean, I kind of lost track about it. What they've been doing this next step, but I just know that they need to get it done eventually.
I see Kirk in California has joined us. It's been a while. Hi, Kirk. Welcome. Glad to see you're in the chat room.
That in the University of Missouri.
Oh.
They've all gone. That wine's gone to vinegar.
Oh, big time. Big time. I read that article on it. Yes. We were talking about a week and a half ago, and I wanted to share with the listeners. You know, we implored you to go ahead and have a 72-hour travel bag, emergency bug-out bag in your car, because you never know when it's going to happen. And Mitch from Texas, he on the CRN Facebook page, he sent me a question. He says, what about food. He says, you know, sometimes I park my car in the summer and sometimes it's in the sun and it gets to be about like 140 degrees. How's the temperature going to affect the food? And I'm going to let Terry explain it, okay? Because I know enough to know that I don't know enough about it. But Terry, he's a bit more up to on it than I am. So, Terry, why don't you tell listeners about high temperatures in food and what they can do with it. Take it.
Oh, yeah, well, if we're doing food storage, okay, if you're doing the normal food storage in any household is like some pantry. You got it in your kitchen or connected to your kitchen. In your home, you've got a basic temperature that lasts throughout the whole year, so it's pretty stable, right?
Yeah, you got climate control, right?
Yeah, so it's the type of climate control you've got handled all year. When we want to store our food as preppers, we want to store it in a consistent temperature range of like plus or minus, you know, a few degrees, but we want to keep it constant. That way we can at least estimate how long we can keep it, because even if the foods that they say, oh, last 25, 30 years, but that's if you keep it at like 70 degrees or below. The lower you have it, the better. I mean, if you can actually keep it at 50 to 60 degrees for the entire time, well, it's warm and it's dry and everything, you're keeping your food stable for a longer time, and you can guarantee the best shelf life as possible. But if you have it stored, so if you have a spare room in your home or a root cellar, that's the place where you want to keep your food storages. But if you put it in a garage that's unprotected, unheated, un-air conditioned, it just goes by a small effect of what's coming off the home, but it's still going to get very cold or very hot in your garage, well, your food doesn't last as long because you've got too much of a temperature variation. Because like a lot of garages, they can get up to like 95 degrees and then get back down to, 40, 35? Depends on how bad any insulation is. So if you have it in your car, so anyways, if you have it in your garage, you need to rotate your food faster than if you have it in a more stable environment. If you have it in your car, you know you can keep some food in there for so long, and then after a while, you don't want to eat it. Like, say you had some granola bars or some whatever food, it's going to go bad faster in your car, especially in the summertime. It's going to go bad faster in your car than it would anywhere else. Even if it's just like that the energy bars, survival bars, or granola bars or anything like that, well, the temperature is going to hurt it. And you may not want to eat it, so you'll have to rotate your stock very much more often. Like what? Maybe 1 month, 2 months, 3 months? Depends on what kind of food you're putting in there. So let's say you have an MRE. I wouldn't keep it in there for too long. I mean, depends on what type of condition you put your vehicle through, because these things can get extremely hot. I mean, how hot do you think a trunk can get if it's in the summer?
Well, that was my question. Well, I don't know, but that was my question. You know, if you leave it in the cab of the vehicle, that's
right.
Sealed. But if you put it in the trunk, is it going to get just as hot, or will it stay maybe a little bit cooler because it's in the trunk and not in a sealed cab? That's what I was thinking on.
Yeah. And the cab of the car, it's got windows, so you got your greenhouse effect. I've even seen on Facebook or Pinterest or something like that where people are using old cars as a food dehydrator.
Really?
Yeah. There's no engine. Yeah, there's no engine, but they use it as a food dehydrator. I think it was an old Volkswagen Bug. Very interesting. Yeah. And I think they fixed the back window where they put a hinge on it and they lifted it up and then they put it. They had
it's
trays
a pizza
in there.
Oven.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, and they put food in there. Like they put trays, racks in there, and they put the trays in through the back window. Then they put the window back down. And I'm like, well, that's pretty neat. And of course, they had a pipe on the bottom and a pipe to the top that would control the airflow because you need airflow. But just like it kills your dogs and stuff like that, it gets really, really hot. So you're going to have to consider what part of the country, how hot has it been at the time, what type of condition has it been in, because sometimes these things get knocked around, they get dirty, you might rip the package. You know, I'd say take whatever food you're talking about and try to evaluate and know that you're going to have to rotate that food stock faster. I mean, if you had a roll of
tape. What about canned food? What about canned food?
I'd say the same thing. Regardless of what, you know, you have to look at what kind of food, what kind of environment you're putting it in, and go play it by ear by what kind of conditions you're putting it in. Because if it's extremely, extremely hot, these things are not made to be stored that way.
Fellow Hat Soldier, you want to kick in on this?
Yeah, I just had to demute myself. question. I am making noise over here now, so I thought I'd try and, at least try and be polite. My question was, Terry, you're the one working with the dehydrator, correct? Or the freeze dryer?
Yeah, I have a freeze dryer.
Have you done any experimenting or have you had any experience that indicates what the temperature effect is on freeze dried stuff like that?
Well, you're talking about, well, when you pack it, it's better to have it like a vacuum packed.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do, right? I vacuum pack it. And and honestly, I haven't been keeping it that long because I've been eating it.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Because I'm experimenting, I'm in my experimental time. I haven't even had it for a year yet. So like, I mean, I haven't put it through any extreme conditions.
Maybe it's time you do.
Well, maybe I need to just,
just do it and report back. We want to know.
I think there's already, you could look it up on Google, I guess. I mean, somebody's already done that kind of experimentation. A lot of these foods have extremes. How much of an extreme? But then again, they have, expiration dates that are sooner than what they should be. I would say that you need to consider what kind of food, how is it packed, like, if it's vacuum packed and it's been through a lot of extreme heat, you're likely to compromise the vacuum and it'll create a hole in it because it'll wear through or something. Same thing if it was freezing, but freezing food is less likely. See, you know, like, cause if you take you put a beer in there. Okay. You put a beer in the trunk of your car or the cab of your car. You can keep it in there for so long, but it's going to go bad after a while. You're going to get that ucky beer face, right? That bitter beer face. Well, then again, if it's freezing, it's going to disrupt the can. If it's extremely hot, well, it's probably going to go bad on you, if not also explode. So you got to look at the type of food and all that. I would think about what type of conditions and think about you're going to put it through more extremes than you should. So you need to rotate your stock a lot more often. Keep an eye on it.
I guess what we all need to do is just get us a couple of cans of whatever we plan on storing, or, you know, get some examples of whatever we're storing, and hey, it's the middle of summer, throw in a car for a month and see what happens to it.
Yeah.
The worst that can happen is you give yourself food poisoning. That's the worst that can happen. It will pass. You will survive it.
You can give it to your dog if it dog dies.
You just
or
wish
it
had died instead.
I don't even know what to do anymore.
Give it to your neighbor's cat, you know, and if the cat survives, then I guess it's okay.
Well, sure.
If it doesn't, then... But, you know, some foods are not so great, like tuna. Tuna would be great food to keep, or Spam, you know, something like that. But, geez, if it went bad on you and you ate it, that'd be horrible.
And hence, that's why we have these
hygiene.
What was that?
I thought we could use Spam to, like, embalm corpses.
Besides, if you wanted to have I don't know why you would keep a 72-hour bag in the car.
What do you mean you don't know why?
Permanently. Because I guess I'm talking about food. Because, like, where are you? I mean, you live in the middle of Montana? You know, if you're anywhere near civilization, I'm sure you can go ground something in a hurry if you have to.
Well, then, there you go. It can be done. Just,
you can't find a compass. You can still pack like batteries, same thing.
Yep.
You're putting it through some extremes. If it's freezing cold or extremely hot, you're putting that battery, that the battery life is going to go way down, if not kill it. So,
you know what? We got Kenny in the chat room. He's our canning expert. Kenny, he says he keeps his 4 days of SOS rations in my car trunk. Is that, Kenny, what we're discussing is Mitch down in Texas said he has a bug out bag that he keeps in his car. However, he's got food and water in there and some other items. But he says, you know, down in Texas, he says, you know, he parks his car at work and at times he's in the sun and it gets to be like 140 degrees. You know, the question is, what does the heat do to the food? How long can you keep it in your bug out bag in your car? That kind of thing. So,
sure wouldn't want to put canned foods down there.
Right.
You know,
home canned. He said he was putting it dehydrated.
So yeah, okay.
I don't know. It's a good question. But I figure as long as we got Kenny, our canning expert, in the chat room, I'll put the question to him, see what he comes up with. Give him a few minutes to think it over. He'll get back to us on it. He's always good about that. He does say his 4 days of SOS rations, he says they last forever. He's typing out an answer now so we can get in there. I see Kirk has rejoined us. He left us and he came back to us.
Yeah, that's SOS rations like the kind that they have for the Navy or the Air Force.
Okay.
They are made for some extreme conditions too.
Okay, he says it will destroy the food. It is not designed for picture storage. There you go.
Oh.
And Donovan Tollison has checked in. He got me hooked on this CRN and the Facebook page. What would you do? It's an interesting Facebook page. If you're into, you know, see what other people would think during this particular situation that they give you. It's always good to them. All right. So there's our answer, Mitch. There you go, buddy. So basically, you should look for foods in the tolerant temperature range, and I'm sure they do make foods out there, like you said. Especially for the military, that's going to be, you know, stored in high temperatures. After all, they're in the desert for a while waiting for Desert Storm. And they had, you know, so they had food out there. So, okay. Donovan wants to know what's up from Florida. Nothing yet, sir. Florida is still part of the United States, and they haven't done any gun grabbing activities as far as I've heard. So that's okay. All right. Okay. Yes, I will.
I hope that answers some questions. I mean,
well, it needs to be talked about. So I'm going to put a link there from what Donovan got me into. I think you'll like it. It's conflicted. What would you do scenarios? That's the name of it. There is a link on the CRN Facebook page. Just tell them you'd like to join the group. Generally speaking, they'll let you in. Okay. That's taken care of. All right. Fall Hat Soldier, what would you like to discuss tonight?
I had something on my mind. I got to thinking about the high temperature food storage, and I kind of forgot where I was going with it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know it was. We were kind of talking the other night about the concept of how many of the countrymen would actually come to arms in the event of
our Patriot
attack
edition.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
And here's the thing. It kind of started going through my mind because I was talking about, like, I thought we'd be able to respond in the event of an organized attack by an organized army type of situation, but in small cellular guerrilla type attacks, you just don't really see the response, or afraid we wouldn't see the response. And I just have to wonder more and more if that's what we should expect. You know, all enemies from without or within, and we need to really prepare accordingly. You don't see platoons of soldiers marching on your shores nowadays. You see a handful of two or three or a half a dozen people show up with a rifle and a couple of spare magazines and Allahu Akbar and we're off to the races, that kind of thing. Or who knows what? Act allows for strips us of due process, allows people to be detained without allowed representation or anything else. So, who's the enemy?
Mm-hmm. In case you didn't hear, it was the July 2nd episode, which we had Saturday night. And my question was very simple. How many people today would do what the colonials did back then? At what point do you say enough's enough? You grab your weapon and you head out the door. How many people today would do what they did? And remember, it was a very small percentage of the colonists that actually were fighting in the revolution. So at what point, one, what's the tipping point? And two, how many people, percentage-wise, population percentage-wise, would do what they did today? And that was, what we ended up talking about. And I think the consensus that we came up with is that not many. Not many.
Probably the same result, maybe a little bit more. But then again, we're a lot larger nation now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, by far. But I was just for the listeners that didn't catch the July 2nd episode, wanted to give them . Oh, that reminds me. I want to welcome the NSA to the broadcast tonight. If you guys want to call in, please do. We'd love to hear from you. 516-453-9389. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to ask you guys some questions. So if you guys are listening in, give us a call at 516-453-9389.
Do I have to take my phone hat off to one to call in?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. I don't think the signal will get through otherwise.
If I'm not on the list now, then I am now. Oh, it never ends. It never ends.
If I'm not on the list, put me on the list. I volunteer. I'll give information. Put my eyes on there. If anybody knows anybody that follows ISIS, please give them my name and number.
We got a special gift for them, a special departing gift. I'm telling you.
A train ticket to Hawaii.
Yes, yes. Now, as you're all aware, you know, do I think the enemy will call? I don't know, Kenny, but I always invite them. I like to be inclusive. Donovan wanted to, he just wanted to know if they had, you know, that they poisoned somebody, or they poisoned Mike Norris. I thought that was an interesting development.
Yeah, so, what's the deal with that?
I haven't heard, other than what I had found earlier, and I posted that on the CRN Facebook page. But I haven't heard anything that if they've determined what kind of a poison it was. So, interesting. And Kenny says he has a 762 by 51 painkiller for any of them that need it. In my opinion, they all need it. By the way, speaking of you patriots out there, here's some information for you I thought you might find interesting. Recently, during the spring when they're having the refugee crisis, Greece had intercepted a boatload, you know, a raft of like 15 of them. Out of the 15 refugees, or rapugees as the case may be, four of them were found to be ISIS fighters. Two of them were found out right away, and they were turned back. Two of them, they didn't know about and let them go through. They participated in the Paris attacks of last year. So I guess we could extrapolate that out of a group of 15, four are ISIS fighters. We could multiply that by the number of refugees that have been allowed to Europe and come up with a number. So if that isn't enough to chap your backside, I don't know what is.
Hey, John, that's almost the exact kind of thing that I'm talking about there, about the, you know, the cellular sleeper mm-hmm. cell type of thing. It's my gut feeling, and I don't know if this is right, wrong, or indifferent, and I hate to wish it on the patriot or on the militias, but I've got a feeling that we're all going to be hiding behind them. If, you know, worst case scenario like this, because it's, you're not going to have a broad frontal enemy coming at you. It's going to be playing a whack-a-mole.
All right. I think I've talked about this before, and that is this. If I'm going to be a terrorist, and I have two or three guys with me, I would not be concentrating in the big cities. I'd be playing, trying to catch me, and committing all kinds of mayhem in the heartland of America. Whether I behead somebody and I put their head on a mile marker pole on the interstate, keep going. I would start forest fires. I would create all kinds of chaos that ever came to my little brain and dare them to try and catch me.
Put that shit on YouTube. Come and get me. It'd be like the grease man from Family Guy. But you can't catch me.
You're so wrong on so many levels.
I'm all greased up. But you can't catch me.
No. The thing of it is this. I was just putting it out there saying, if I was going to do it, that's the way I would do it. This, you know. Now, they keep admitting more refugees in the United States. We all know what happened in Idaho with the little girl. And instead of the U.S. attorney there, you know, sticking up for the victim and Americans' rights, she is more worried about what Americans might say or do to the refugees there in Idaho, which, by the way, do not, under any circumstances, buy any more Chobani yogurt, ever. If you want to know why, I will tell you. No, you better what? No, I'll tell you. That if I remember right, Chobani is owned by a Muslim, and he's been told to hire more Muslims for his factory, so they've been shipping them to Idaho to work at the Chobani yogurt factory. Now, does that mean Chobani's bad? Not at all. Does it mean I'm going to buy it? Not at all. I will not buy it. So I thought I'd pass around the information.
What could possibly go wrong?
What could possibly happen? Nothing. Just put your foil hat on, sir. Put your foil hat on. You'll be fine. It'll protect
you. I'm cinching it down tight now. I'm going to come in with a full face, helmet one of these days. It's getting too scary out there.
That's all right.
There's a protection I can get.
Well, the foil hat soldier, did you hear our discussion about the myth of the tactical reload?
I tuned in just at the tail end of it. I didn't hear most of it.
All right.
I have heard something about that before, and everybody was talking about that seemed like a kind of a bad idea. It's like shoot now, reload later.
No, yeah. Okay. Well, Jim W. is logged out. We say thank you for checking us out. Guest 3673 has logged into the chat room. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. We trade one listener for another. That's all right. And looks like Kirk has logged out. I mean, I have to get hold of Kirk, see how we're doing on those T-shirts for CRN. So as soon as he comes back, I'll ask him about it. Actually, we should have him call in.
Yes, I want a T-shirt.
You want it? I know. We all want T-shirts. We all do. Just got to come on. You know what?
I'm going to go make that bitch myself.
Now, Donovan says, here is some food for thought. He says, with all the talk about Patriots and such goings on, what can we learn from Rebel war footage found on YouTube?
What can you learn from Rebel war footage?
I'm not – what kind of Rebel footage? I don't know. Has anyone heard of the Hell Cannon? No, I have not. Let's see. Kenny Kaufman says, tactical reload? Why? And my response to that is, exactly.
Because it's fancy.
Well, it sounds great. He says, I don't. I'm the gray man. Okay. All right. What else we got here? I think we've covered everything we need to cover tonight. I can't think of anything else we want to talk about.
Well, there's one thing I want to rant. Remember when I called you this morning?
Hold on. If you're going to rant,
Don't do that. Hey, damn it, we're mad and we're not doing it anymore.
Go ahead with your rant, sir.
My son popped his head out like, what the hell? he's looking down the hallway like, what the fuck? Deal with Hillary Clinton. You think about this, okay? If the government is corrupt enough to let her slide on these blatant violations of national security, okay? It's in the penal codes. You don't need to be a lawyer to understand that she has broken the law. Go to federal prison. Do not pass go. Go straight to jail. So if they're so corrupt that they protect her, and then Obama's out here flying her around on Air Force One using our tax dollars for her election, you think about this. They're going to be corrupt enough to make sure she wins. And you know what that means. Dead people voting. You know, they're going to make sure she wins by hook or by crook. This is just bullshit. And you know, if she gets in the office, then what's going to happen? They're talking about just killing the Second Amendment, going after anybody. Well, you heard all of her rhetoric about these things. Gun prices are going to go through the roof. Okay? all your supplies for guns and ammo are going to go through the roof. I highly suggest that everybody starts do an inventory check about all their stuff about weapons and ammo. If you want an AR-15 or similar, you've been thinking about it and you haven't got one yet, your ass had better go out there and buy one now. You need to get the ammo for it. You better start shopping now. Load up on your magazines. Load up on all your parts, your spare parts. I'm telling you. If they're corrupt enough to protect her, why do you think they want to protect her in the first place? So she has a political life. Because if she was politically dead where they can't help anybody, she can't serve the party anymore, why would they save her? They want to keep her for a reason. That's what I've got to say. I mean, what do you think?
I think is this. Terry, do you remember earlier this year? Well, let me tell you. I got something from Donovan Tollison. He says, about a year ago, they had some Muslims down here in Florida buying a truckload of propane cans. Didn't you have the same issue in Missouri?
Yes. We had them buying like a shitload of cell phones, the throwaway type, the burner phones. Mm-hmm. And then we had a bunch of them buying propane tanks. Yep.
So
two different situations.
Yeah. In two different states. This is the first time I've heard it down in Florida. If you're looking for quality AR-15s, apparently Donovan says Palmetto State Armory is crazy cheap for AR-15s. Kenny says Palmetto State lowers are really high quality and they're cheap. Fall Hat Soldiers, good and cheap, are a nice combination. And Kirk, he logged in. I asked him to call in, and he just logged out on me. We want to know about the T-shirts. We want T-shirts. So, okay. Let me think. What else?
I mean, what do you think about what I said?
About what?
You think
about
that if they're corrupt enough to protect her? Hey, Chris. If they're corrupt enough to protect her, they're corrupt enough to make sure she wins. And you know, if she gets in office, what's going to happen next?
So buy your weapons and ammunition and high capacity magazines now. Donovan says I got a nice AR-15 for $535. There you go. Nice. Let me think. What else are we going to talk about? We talked got that taken care of. So
what makes the blood grass grow? Blood.
Okay. Don't make me do it. All right.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Shock Top. Shock Top, the Belgian white beer.
Do you drink yours with orange?
No, I just drink it cold. People ask me, what kind of beer you drink? I'm like, cold.
There you go. Of course, prerequisite, everything else is negotiable.
Everything else is negotiable. There you have it.
I'm American.
All right, then.
I like it cold.
I always try to drink my Shock Top with the orange on it so I don't get scurvy.
Okay, the Hell Cannons. That's what they use the propane cans for. And so, there you have it. All right. Now I think I will wrap it up for this episode. So,
good.
Kenny says he likes his beer cold and free. Cold and free. No, I'll leave it alone. I'm not going to jump onto it. Too easy. All right. Next show, Saturday night. Okay, let me think here. I think I've got a social engagement I got to attend to Saturday night. But that doesn't mean I won't have a show loaded up. So, but nonetheless. All right. Donovan, thanks again for checking in. I appreciate it. He's getting ready to leave our chat room. It's nice for him to check in. Full Hat Soldier, final thoughts to the world. Because we are heard internationally, you know.
My final thoughts were is I hope that anybody that's currently listening or will be listening in the future to a, you know, to a podcast or a download, whatever, I hope they appreciate the wealth of information that gets presented on this little show here. This show is presented to me in the last year or so that I've been listening, probably more than I found in the previous 5 years leading up to it.
Really?
In terms of information. You do a better job of aggregating the information than I ever did for myself. Plus, we have the opportunity to have live conversations here, and I'm watching, you know, things scroll across the the chat room, and we're talking about Palmetto, you know, armory guns and things like that I didn't know about. And this is just an amazing source of information. So, tell your friends and neighbors if you're like what you see and hear, because this is good stuff. And sometimes, you know, we have a lot of idle conversations, but you pick up the little nickel and dime tips that can just be absolute lifesavers. Terry, I think you did something really that I thought was really important the other day. Maybe a week or so ago, you were talking about, you know, in a grid down situation, take care of your feet. Carry some extra socks with you. Wash your feet off. Put on fresh socks when you've had a rough go. You know, and it's little things like that we forget about. You know, we're talking about stockpiling years' supply of anything, but you know, if you can't walk, it doesn't really matter how much you've got stockpiled.
True.
So it's stuff like that I think we really have to, make sure we don't lose the forest for the trees. And it's these conversations that I think really help with that. So I just want to salute you guys for, making this media available. And I'm very grateful to have an opportunity to participate.
You know, I want to say thank you. But you know what? We can't do it without the listeners' participation. You know, there was a time you never called in. Now you call in almost regularly. I love it. Because you have something important to add, or you have a question that I might have even thought of. And that's what I like about this situation we have here. No one here is an expert. We're here comparing notes. We're here to, hey, I heard about this. What did you see? What did you hear? You know what? That's how good information gets spread around. And if something's wrong, many times I've been wrong about something, and I'll sit there and go, hey, I'll fess up. I got no problem with it. I'll take responsibility. But like I said, we're here to pass on information. What you do with that information, that's all up to you. So,
yeah, I've had information about actions. I had another NCO come up to me one time and say, hey, Sergeant Cox, you mind if I show you how to do something a better way, a different way? I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, he's being courteous about, like, didn't want to step on my toes. And I'm like, yeah, sure, you can. I'm always open to suggestions about how to do something different,
right?
If not better,
right?
If not better. Right. And then he showed me, and I said, I like that. That's good. I like that. I said, look, I don't mind. If you want to show me something, that is fine by me. What's the worst that can happen? Or, you know, you're going to make me better? Yeah.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Teach me. If you got something to teach me, teach me. You know, I teach him, he teach me. We were good. And that's teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Teamwork. You got to be an understanding kind of guy. You can't be number one all the time.
You can't. Now, the way we get this is word of mouth. If you know people who are preppers and or patriots, tell them about the show. If you're listening in on a mobile platform where you can rate the show, please give us a good rating. We'd love to have it. Because this show isn't just mine. It's ours. Everybody that calls in, everybody hits the chat room, it's our show. This is our chance to tell the world why we're preppers, why we're patriots. This is how we're going to do it, and this is why we're going to do it. That's what it's about. So,
yeah,
Mr.
You
Terry?
Know, I tell you one other thing I want to ask everybody who listens. If you listen to this podcast, I want you to send in an email just to say hello. And I want you to tell me where you got it from. You know, like a city or just a country, state, whatever. I just want you to say hello. If not, send a message. We like it. We don't like it. A suggestion, a question, anything. But at least say hello. I just want to see who does that.
Okay.
I want 5,000 emails sent to John.
Do it.
Poor John.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Wouldn't that be
Contra
cool?
Radio
like
at live.com. ContraRadio@live.com, and I will forward those emails to Terry.
Do it. Do it.
All right. You can do it.
Quit doing that.
All right. All right. Very good. Very good show, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us and participating here in the roundtable. That's what it's all about. I want to say hi to Casey and Marshall down there in Louisiana. Kenny Kaufman, thanks for checking in. Donovan, thanks for checking in. Scooter 13, you've been kind of quiet, my friend. I'm glad you're safe and sound. Starting to wonder about you. And if you'd like to have your own show here at the Contra Radio Network, let me know. Send me an email at ContraRadio@live.com, ContraRadio@live.com. And tell me what you want to do your show about. Contra. President Reagan made that word famous. Contra Radio Network. That's us. If you want to join us, please do. We'd love to have you. Let me think. I took care of all the housekeeping for tonight, so we're good there. Yeah, we're good. In the meantime, I want to say thank you to the Foil Hat Soldier. He doesn't live too far from me, but I want to say thank you to him just the same for calling in and making the show what it is, because it's always better when you have more people calling in and doing whatnot. Especially when we're talking prepper and patriot things, which we have done. I appreciate it. And, of course, my co-host, Terry, who we're still trying to get him caught up on technology so we can get him really rocking and rolling here. All right.
You know, I was looking at a computer the other day. Now they got them where you don't even have to have a tower. It's just a big screen. It's got everything in there.
They've had
it
those
like
for
a small
while,
TV.
My friend.
Well, I guess I'm behind times, but I thought that was pretty cool.
It is.
I'm thinking about buying one of them. But because there's, and not just for the show, but also there's some other things that I need to take care of that I'm going to need that.
Right. All right then. Foil Hat Soldier, I'll give you the last word, and we'll call it a night.
Some of what you said, the more people we can convince to prep is fewer people that are going to be scratching at our door, you know, when the grid goes down. And the other thing that occurs to me, it might behoove us to make a plan to help teach other people to fish if we find ourselves in grid down, because not everybody is going to I don't think everybody will want to take advantage of anybody that is prepped, but they may feel like they're forced into a position of trying to. What if we can actually convince them that they can do for themselves? That's
right.
You know, it's good to make friends. It's just good to make friends.
All right. What's that? Okay, Donovan has posted, Southern Prepper 1, call for all patriots to identify themselves with 3. Oh, there you go. Okay. 3% logos on their cars. There you go. That's from Southern Prepper 1.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. I'll have to look into that, see if we can't somehow piggyback on that. That'd be nice. Scooter 13 is logged out. Thank you for listening. All right, all right, all right. Thank you again, my friend. Terry, I'll say goodnight to you. Let me know when you get that package.
Yes, sir, my brother.
All right. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network, saying to my prepper and patriot friends out there, Stay safe, stay alert, stay vigilant. And until next time, this is John Jeffers. I want to say good night, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.